The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son, that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from Proverbs. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 112 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
There is a sentence of the mighty land, the generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of blessings.
It is good for them to be generous in lending, and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon the enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and hide away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourself were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Shall we all? You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah!
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both you may come to you and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and then you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
In the beginning of today's gospel, we are told that Jesus is going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees. This reveals something very important for what's about to happen. If this were a movie, this would be the place where the music would start to get a little more suspenseful. This is the part where you'd be anticipating that some sort of conflict was about to happen. And it does happen. And what does Jesus choose to fight over? Dinner etiquette? Jesus is talking about etiquette? Why does Jesus care about what places people take at the table? Or who to invite to a party? What does this possibly have to do with God and how God has chosen to reveal God's self? All right, let's talk about etiquette for a second. Maybe this will come full circle. Jesus tells the guests who are taking the best seats to be humble, sit at the lower seats. And then the host will honor them by telling them to come up to a more honored seat in the house. Okay, so the etiquette here would be go sit at a low place, and then the host will tell you to take a higher place, give you a better seat. I guess we're going to take a principle from this. Be humble. Jesus says that the guests should be humble in order that we might get the host to notice us, and then we would be given some sort of honor. It concerns me, though, that what might happen is that we'd be enticed not into humility, but to false humility, that someone would only seek to be humble so that they would get noticed, and then they would, people would honor them because of that. It then doesn't become about being humble, but about becoming better, about getting people to notice. One day there was this sage who went to for an interview by the king. The sage had to wait a long time because the king, he was very busy. Finally, the king said that he could come in. When the sage entered the hall, the first thing he did was take off his hat, and he bowed to the king. Immediately, the king took off his crown, and he bowed to the sage. The ministers and others who were around the king said, "What are you doing? He took off his hat because he was an ordinary man. But you're the king. Why should you have to take off your crown?" The king said to the ministers, "You fools! Do you think I wish to remain inferior to an ordinary man? He is humble and modest. He showed respect to me. If I didn't take off my crown, then I would be showing less humility than the ordinary man, and I would be defeated by him. If I'm the king, I should be better than everybody in everything. That's why I took off my crown and bowed to him. False humility is doing something that seems humble in order to receive recognition. In the case of the king, he wanted to show that he was better than the sage. And this is false humility. And false humility is just pride. And this is exactly what the Pharisees were like. They practiced their faith in a way for all to see it. They loved to pray loudly in front of others. They thanked God that they weren't like the sinners next to them. They practiced their piety in front of others by making sure everyone knew how much they tithed. Praying and tithing are humble acts. And they used it as a source of pride. And that's false humility. All of this was to show others how much closer to God they were than everyone else. They thought they had a special relationship with God and that they deserved to be honored. That's why they were fighting over positions at the table. They wanted to be honored because they believed that God loved them more. This wasn't just a problem amongst the Pharisees. During the time that the Gospel of Luke was being written, there was some trouble that took place between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. The question was, does somebody have to be Jewish in order to be a Christian? We learn about these fights that the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians had in the book of Acts and Galatians. The Jewish Christians, they liked their positions of power that they had. They believed they were already chosen by God, that they were God's chosen people. And they believed that you couldn't just circumvent that in order to have a relationship with God directly. You had to become a Jew first. N.T. Wright wrote, "If I reckon that I deserve to be favored by God, not only do I declare that I don't need his grace, mercy, and love, but I imply that those who don't deserve it shouldn't have it." Jesus was not telling us to have false humility like the Pharisees, but to have true humility. And that could be defined in a couple of different ways. So instead of giving you a definition of humility, I want to tell you a story. This is a story of Booker T. Washington. He was a renowned black educator in the late 1800s. And he was an outstanding example of humility. Shortly after he took over the presidency of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, he was walking in an exclusive section of town when he was stopped by a wealthy white woman. Not knowing the famous Mr. Washington by sight, she asked if he would like to earn a few dollars by chopping wood for her. Because he had no pressing business at the moment, Professor Washington smiled. He rolled up his sleeves, and he proceeded to do the humble chore that she had requested. When he was finished, he carried the logs into the house, stacked them at the fireplace. A little girl recognized him and later revealed his identity to the lady. The next morning, the embarrassed woman, she went to see Mr. Washington in his office at the Institute, and she apologized profusely. "It's perfectly all right, madam," he replied. "Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand warmly and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude endeared him and his work to her. Not long afterwards, she showed her admiration by persuading some wealthy acquaintances to join in her donating thousands of dollars to the Tuskegee Institute. He could have told her who he was. He could have been insulted and outraged because of his position, but he wasn't. And in true humility, he helped a woman in need despite his position. And because of that,
She made sure that he and his institution received recognition. So we have the first part of the gospel narrative taken care of. We should be humble. Let's go to the second one. Let's go to the second story. This is where Jesus shifts his attention away from the guest and how they should be humble, and he addresses the hosts. In the first century world, you would only invite people to a dinner party like close friends, relatives, and neighbors. These people would have to be of equal status to the host. A person would be invited to a party, and then they would be expected to throw a party in the future and invite the people who had invited them. This was a social construct of reciprocity. I think today we have this sort of thing too. Have you ever bought somebody a gift and then they say, oh, I didn't get you anything? Or taking somebody out to dinner, insist on paying, and they say, I'll pay next time. In both these instances, we've been taught to believe that the scales have somehow been tipped, and now we are indebted to the person who showed us kindness. This is the sort of thing Jesus is talking about when he says, don't invite people that can pay you back, but the people who can't pay you back. He tells them that they should invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. These people are the outcasts of society. They could never pay the host back. To both the guests who were jockeying for honor and the hosts who invited people that could pay them back, Jesus teaches us to be humble and welcoming to all. But there has to be more. These texts just can't be giving us one more thing to do. These stories can't just be giving us instructions on how to live. These virtues, being humble, being welcoming, we can find in any self-help book, any religious text. Humility and openness are a core part of who Jesus is. It was Jesus who was seated at the right hand of the Father, and he came down. He was brought low in order to become man. This is what the Nicene Creed says. For us human beings and for our salvation, he came down from the heavens, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became a human being. Jesus was high and lifted up, and in humility, he brought himself low. And as our guest in the world, did we lift him up? Did we make him king? Profess our allegiance to him? No. We did lift him up, but on a cross. And we killed him because we were never really the hosts. Jesus was never really our guest. In our pride and in our arrogance, we think that we own the world. But God is really the owner. God is really the host. And Jesus, he was brought low again off a cross. And we confess in the Nicene Creed that on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is the best seat in the house. Jesus was low, and then he was brought up. Jesus took the seat, the last seat, and he ended up getting the best one. It was through Jesus taking the last place that we are all invited to the table. Jesus invited everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you've seen, what you've heard. You're invited. And Jesus welcomes you into his church, into his kingdom, where you can know what he has done for you. When you are baptized, You are baptized into the death, being made low, and the resurrection, high, of Christ. And there's nothing that we can do to repay God. There's no sort of reciprocity in what God has done for us. How can the creation repay the Creator? So we began with etiquette, thinking that Jesus was trying to teach us how he lived, how to live, but we realized that he was really teaching us how he lived. We thought that we would have to do one more thing in our lives, and we've come to realize that it was Jesus who had already done it all. We thought it was a teaching on how to act, and realize that Jesus had already acted. Amen.